All righty, at 9:20, lovely. It's great to welcome back to the programme Emer McGlyson and Sarah Breen, the brain trust behind the Aisling series. Their fourth Aisling book, Aisling in the City, is out now. If she can make it there, she'll make it anywhere. She's off to New York. Emer, Sarah, welcome live and in real life to the studio.
Thank you.
Emer, it's not been so long since we last spoke.
No.
So I'll address that by saying thank you so much for being here that morning.
Thank you.
I thought you gave a very visceral, very honest, very searing, truthful account of your life up to that point. And I hope you were okay after it, because that took a lot to do that.
Thanks. It was great to be able to share. I got a great response afterwards, and a lot of people said they found it helpful, which made it worthwhile.
That's all the point. Yeah. We don't need to go back over it other than to say, great to see you. Thanks for being here. And your mate.
The emotional support dog.
The emotional support dog. And you're actually wearing a high-vis jacket for that very reason today. Good on you, Sarah. You were sitting upstairs for all of that. How was it for you?
I was sobbing away. I was a very proud friend, and Emer was saying such nice things about me as well, being her friend, so that was nice to hear. And you know, I didn't have an opportunity to talk about what a great friend she is to me, so while I'm here, I'd just like to say thanks for being a great friend.
Oh my god,
Emer.
Sarah,
it feels like this is your life. You thought you were here for a book conversation, but in fact today Emer McGlyson, this is your life.
It's your third class teacher
who has strong words with you about that essay you wrote. You spent a lot of time together in the States, didn't you? I mean, that was a lot of time. You visited each other because you were posted there with your husband's job.
Yes, exactly.
And what part of the States were you in?
I was there for 3.5 years. We were in Portland and Phoenix, so we're kind of between the two places.
I know nothing about those places. What were they like?
Well, Phoenix is in the desert. It's in the west, near California. A very dry heat in Arizona. And it was lovely. Like, I loved the lifestyle out there. Blue skies and palm trees. And I'd moved from an apartment building in Stony Batter with like just bins downstairs to like an apartment in Phoenix with a swimming pool outside my door. Yeah. So Emer was one of the first people to come and visit me, because I mean, who could say no to a swimming pool?
Not me anyway.
And how is, like, I'm getting to America because obviously Aisling is going to New York, so we'll get there in a second. But how did you enjoy the American experience? Because you did a J1 as well, didn't you?
I did a J1 actually in New York.
York. Okay, well, let's go to New York. It sounds a little more exciting than Phoenix.
No offense taken.
I did, when I did visit Sarah in Phoenix, I think both times I visited were off season, in that it wasn't 45 degrees, because I, like a lot of other Irish people, I cannot handle the heat.
Me both,
I tweeted this morning going, it's very warm out.
It's very warm out.
Just be warned, don't wear a coat.
It is hot.
Sorry, there is. Let's do the Irish thing. Opening the door to go outside, there's like the whoosh.
Yeah. 17 degrees, you
what?
Know.
Yeah. 17 degrees. Yeah. Who knew?
Anyway,
it's beautiful though.
So yeah, I was glad.
Back to America.
It was lovely in Phoenix. But yeah, I did my J1 in 2001, which seems crazy, in New York. But it was just outside New York. It wasn't New York proper. It was I like to call it the bad end of Long Island. So it wasn't the posh end.
Oh, I
in
see.
The Hamptons. It was the Queens end.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you kind of got to.
But I was working kind of a semi-posh country club. I would say there was a lot of mobsters who remembers.
Because I like, from the movies, I always think the films that country clubs are all posh.
I mean, it was posh, but
I think there's a spectrum of
in the country club
there was an edge to it,
as you say, a bit of a Tony Soprano vibe.
Yeah, I remember one time serving this there was a lot of very older men, and serving him something, and there was something on the side of his plate, and he was like, "Miss, get this S-H-I-T off my plate."
Yeah. Okay, that gives us a sense.
Yeah, actually, don't speak to a waitress like that, do you?
Not really.
No.
Sounds like it's not quite Mar-a-Lago. So tell us about Aisling and how she is. I mean, we always talk, she's always the fourth person in the studio here today. So without being disrespectful, how is she and what's happening in her life?
Aisling is great. So at the end of the third book, you might remember.
Yes, of course.
She had just pulled off kind of like the wedding of the century with the help of an American wedding planner, or an event architect is how she would describe herself.
Yes.
And then romantically, things weren't going great at the end of the last book. So fast forward to this book, which happens a couple of months later, and she gets a phone call from said event architect in New York City offering her a job. And of course, I mean, it's the dream, isn't it?
I mean, she does a bit of dithering, but not that much, because what has she got holding her back? So she decides, I'm going to do it.
It's her
I'm
time.
I'm going to New
it's
York.
It's her time.
Yeah.
And making it in America is kind of the benchmark of success for Irish people, really. You know, it's like once you've made it over there, it's like you've done it. You know, we get so proud when we see Niall Horan on telly, or like one of, you know, an Irish band is on one of those late night talk shows, you know, or somebody Irish gets like an Oscar nomination.
Oh my goodness.
Bursting with pride. So we're like, okay, let's see if Aisling can make
it in
America.
It's her turn, really, isn't it? And and how does she figure in the States? Because in New York is pretty daunting. It's beautiful and fun, but it's it's pretty serious stuff.
Yeah, so Aisling's only experience with New York previously has kind of been two or three visits, maybe before the Christmas, to buy some presents, to visit the M&M shop in Times Square,
the outlet malls,
to look at the Empire State Building, but she couldn't be queuing, so you just look at it, get the Staten Island Ferry, it's free, instead of doing the actual tour to the Statue of Liberty. Oh, she's done it all. She's done it all. She knows the place inside out. So she goes over and actually has to live for a little while with not an elderly, but an older relative who lives in Queens.
Yes. But crucially, as part of the job offer, she goes over on a business class flight.
Now, I wanted to talk to you about that because the business class flight experience, you've been...
I've been on the end of some photographs from Emer, who was on a business class.
Oh, sorry, Emer, you're on the business
class. I was once on a business class flight in my life.
This is the most Irish admission. You know, kind of going, I am so embarrassed to admit that I travelled in style because people will judge me. And like, you're actually almost mortified telling me that you travelled in style.
But I'm like, gather around, children, and I'll tell you the
It's one of the most exciting things. Like, it's just my dream.
Tell us all about it.
The things are so tiny. The tiny salt and pepper. Like you wouldn't, but it's like a doll's house. There was people asleep. Like the business class cabin that I was in, there was maybe 8 seats and you get your very own seat. There's no elbows, there's nobody touching you. You're in your own little pod almost. And there's people sleeping through the tiny salts and peppers and free drinks.
This is barbaric to me. Like I would have my eyes on matchsticks. Like I couldn't miss a single thing
because there's
so much free stuff happening.
There was a remote control for the telly.
And can I ask you, was it Aer Lingus? Or
it was Aer Lingus,
so
yeah.
You had this Irish vibe to it as well.
Yeah, and I got on and she was like, may I hang up your coat? Emer. And I was like, oh my God, who is this angel who knows my name?
Tell me about the free stuff.
The free stuff. So I didn't even see the free stuff, first of all, because it was in like a little locker down by your foot.
A locker. It's far from lockers. You were weird.
And then there was the little bag, and in it was like lip balm and hand lotion, a pair of socks, I think.
Free socks.
Like
where is this place you speak of?
Eye mask. And then you got a menu for what was coming. She asked, do you want the cocktail of the day or do you want this? And I was like, oh, but give me it all, Siobhan.
I just wish we had a camera on this because Sarah's looking at you like she's gone to see Santa in Switzerland.
I was sending Sarah pictures the whole time. I mean, I was like,
what's on the menu?
I must have had Wi-Fi because it was business class.
Yeah, of course.
I'm surprised they didn't just give me a phone. Oh, welcome, here's a phone.
It's one of my favourite things to ask people about, like getting free upgrades on airlines as well. And everyone has a story, like loads of people get them. A friend of mine is a doctor and she was saying she was on a flight once and they were like, you know, is there a doctor on the plane? And she was like, oh, I want to just enjoy my flight. And then she waited a few minutes and then they were like, is there a nurse on the plane? So then she was like, okay, well, I have to put my hand up here. And there was somebody having trouble, I think a man having trouble breathing or something. Yeah. And they were both moved up to first class. But she said she couldn't even really enjoy
that's
it.
That's a good tip now, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you have to be a doctor.
but if you're having trouble breathing.
I think he had to put on quite the performance.
Yeah. I mean,
but she couldn't even enjoy the amenities because she was like keeping an eye on your man. She couldn't have the champagne. So be careful if you're going to do that.
Yeah, you
Here's my
raging.
Next question then. After you've described what sounds like Aladdin's cave of joy and
it
delight.
Joyful.
You know, your personal Narnia with wings.
Yeah.
But my question is this. How do you fly after that?
Well, the saddest tale is directly after that, I landed in New York, had to get a connecting flight.
Oh, back to reality. Oh, gosh.
I was in the centre seat.
Yes.
There was only economy on this tin can that was flying through the air.
Now you're a snob. It's
brilliant. I went up to the desk. Or I think I can't remember. It was one of the American internal airlines.
You weren't going to complain, were you?
Well, I was just like, oh, sorry, I have a business class ticket.
Sorry, we should Karen, I'm assuming. New title.
I was very nice. I was like, I have a business class ticket. I'm just wondering where... You know, I don't seem to have a business class seat. And the lady was just like, openly laughing, going, "There, what are you talking about? There's no business class seats on this plane."
What a con!
So I had to go and sit with the go down amongst the people.
You turned right. You had to turn right.
I had to turn right.
The shame of it.
Anyway, look, I had my business class experience. I will dine out on it until the day
magical.
I die.
It's all detailed in Aisling in the City, which is out today.
That's the whole thing. Yeah. I feel like we were on the flight with you.
Yeah.
Or we were listening to a fireside story of old. It was a beautiful experience.
It was just wonderful.
I want to fly again now.
Oh yeah, I only want to fly first class now.
Yeah.
Can I ask you about how you feel about the term Karen when someone's a Karen? Because I feel there's a bit of pushback on it from people saying, you know, it's getting a bit annoying. Or do you think it's gas?
No, being called Karen is not something that's complimentary at all.
But do you see the humour in it, or do you feel, you know, you're both kind of, oh, look at the fur. Yeah, there's a lot of brow furrowing here.
I wouldn't be calling anyone a Karen.
Would you not? Do you think it's too pejorative and kind of mean?
It manifested in America a few years ago, and it was kind of, you know, the, well, let me speak to the manager haircut, and it was kind of a middle-aged woman who was always complaining about things. And it has really, I think, like, I hear children now calling people Karens. Like, my friend's son, I remember he was like, oh, so-and-so's such a Karen. And I was like, well, that's not a very nice thing to say about
someone. Yeah, it's filtered down to kids' YouTube now.
It's just become too ubiquitous. And it is quite...
Interesting to get your take on that. Okay. So it's not for everyone. Tell the girls not to give away too much. I can't wait to get the book. So they're just saying, so steady as we go on the
info.
Okay,
no more spoilers. Yeah,
we haven't given away too much at all. All of that happens in the first few chapters.
And also the lines are blurring between what happened in your life, Emer, and what happens in Aisling's life.
Not that Emer's a complete Aisling or anything.
No, I get that.
How dare you?
There's two of you in it. Ryan, I have my pre-order of Aisling in the City arriving in the next day or two, and I'm so excited to read it. Listening to the ladies in your show this morning has made me even more excited to read it. Tell the Aisling's to try the Aisling's.
That's what people call us now.
How do you feel about that?
We just answer to it.
They're like, here's Aisling, and then there's also Aisling. They're both called Aisling.
What a coincidence.
We've got a pair of Aisling's today. Yeah. Tell the Aisling's to try business class on Etihad.
I've heard about this.
I haven't heard. I know nothing about
this. I think
there's
a bed.
No.
I think there's a full bed.
Like a duvet?
If anyone from Etihad is listening,
we're available to test drive all your planes.
Well, can you tell me, why am I so intellectually incurious about travelling to Dubai and these places? I have no interest at all.
I don't really either, but mostly because of the heat.
It's very hot and very sandy.
I struggled on Inish Boffin in July, I can tell you.
You were there for the heat wave.
I was there for the heat wave, and I was being mocked by young people that I was with who I shouldn't read because I was wearing a shirt, trousers, shoe, on the beach.
Not long sleeves, Ryan.
I'm afraid
Ryan, shoes on the beach.
No, well, they were...
Did you have a job interview there later?
I had a book over my face because the heat was so intense.
You are a caricature of yourself.
And they
look, listen, it doesn't sound too far.
And then they TikToked me. I was TikToked by them, mocking me.
I don't blame them now, to be honest.
Do you know what? They had good material in fairness. Okay, let's keep going. We flew business class to New York on Aer Lingus, and the best experience ever. And our president, Michael D, was in the top row with Sabina, en route to address the UN. He was so lovely, he took time to say hello to everyone around him.
I mean, that's the other thing. You just don't know who you'd be like brushing shoulders
actually,
with when you're
in
turning
the book
left.
When Aisling is preparing to fly business class, she's in the airport going, people probably think I'm working in the UN because I'm in the business class.
Yeah, because it looks not
there. And I've got a laptop bag.
Such business.
I brought a laptop bag.
I love that. You weren't given a laptop there, by the way. I was flown to Germany first class by my company in 1985, says Pete in Cork. The one and only time I felt like the Lord of the Manor. God, it really is.
It's too short a flight.
That's too
short.
To Germany.
That is very
I want to
short.
Be going to Australia.
You want a bed?
Yes, I want to be like in a cabin at the back.
Yeah, I hear you.
You'd like to fly to Australia just to do it, wouldn't you?
Have you been to Australia either?
No, it's a very long flight.
It's very long flight. And the heat. not to mention the heat. I'd love to do Australia to fly that way.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's the only way.
The only way.
I wouldn't fancy the legs up against my chin now.
Yeah. My mother has a brother in Tasmania, and I've considered treating her to, and she's visited him before, but another visit, and going, we'll fly first class, will we? Just so we could do the flights.
Oh, I think you should.
Yeah, I think I should too.
It's why celebrities always get off planes looking so good. They haven't been scrunched up in a ball, you know, with their head against the tray table
matted,
in front of them. They've been on a bed.
But I think, you know, the amount of people post-pandemic, as we're kind of in that zone now, people should be encouraged to do things that they said I must do.
Yeah,
like you should do that.
Yeah,
I mean, I know it's costly, and you save, you make the money, and so on, if you can. But definitely do it.
It'd be lovely, wouldn't it?
We're trying to bring back YOLO. You know, you only live once.
Yeah,
it's coming
back.
Bring it back.
My mother's at home now, going, Jesus, no, I'm not getting on.
No, do. Tell your mother. Tell your mum, like, she's listening today. You know, you've got to do this, and especially as it's on the house, because your daughter's a successful author now, so she wants to say thank you for all the kindnesses.
Thank you for everything, mother.
That's more like it. That is more like it. Aer Lingus have been on. Is that true? That what they want?
Stop. Stop it.
I'm not joking. You, Aer Lingus have been on.
You're joking.
They want to talk to the two of you about bringing it to New York on business.
Stop.
You're kidding.
No, it's not a joke.
Sarah's going to cry.
I am going to cry.
No, they really have.
No, you're messing. No, you're too much of a messer.
You are.
You wear shoes to the beach. I can't trust you.
You know my mother? She's 80 years old. She's had coffee yesterday. I promise on her life this is true. So oh don't do God. That lightly.
It was all worth it, Emer.
That's your, it's going to happen.
It's happening. We're making it in New York. Oh my God.
We did go to New York once together, and then Sarah broke the news while we were there that she was pregnant. And
I ruined it.
I bought a bottle of gin for us to share.
In steerage. Well, now you can have that gin.
We'll have it on the flight.
On the flight.
For free.
That's brilliant. Are you going to get a little salt and pepper?
Oh, stop.
Yes.
It'll be in, straight into my handbag.
Free sauce.
I'm sorry, Aer Lingus. I'm sorry. I couldn't leave them behind me.
Straight into the handbag. Anyway, lads, that's who knew? You came on to talk about a book and now you're flying to New York. Up the front. Yes. Oh, it's a lovely Irish reaction to it, I think. Flew Aer Lingus once for my 50th birthday, says Dara, with my husband to New York City, and the five kids were down the back.
Good.
We were up there. And we're rereading all the Aislings as we wait for the new one.
Oh,
there's a lot of love for the book in terms of waiting for it. And they've been, you know,
it's been a long wait for people.
It has.
It's been over a year now at this stage.
Yeah, we took a year off last year. So it's been 2 years. Yeah. It's been 2 years since the third book. So yeah, it has been a long wait.
And even during lockdown, we got loads of messages from people going, oh, you know, the thought of this new Aisling book is getting us through
lockdown. Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah. I mean, I believe that actually. Elaine in Rathfarnham says, I got my confirmation yesterday. The book is on its way. Interesting to hear the girls' antipathy for the Karen phenomenon. I feel like there could be potential in maybe an Aisling versus Karen book or movie or TV series, which would be like their version of Alien versus Predator.
That
took a leap. But Aisling versus Karen.
I think a lot of people probably who aren't familiar with Aisling might think she's a bit of a Karen. Like they might
confuse she's much nicer than that.
But no, she's completely different. She might complain to the manager, but she would have a good point to make.
And a good case, she's got the heart, hasn't she? And I have my pre-order of Aisling in the City arriving in the next day or two, and I'm so excited to read it. Listening to the ladies, and as maybe more say, just received my copy this minute. Can't wait to start. Love the girls; they make me smile. From Noreen Walls in Chapel, is it in Dublin?
Thank you, Noreen.
Good on you, Noreen. Another says I had to be forced to give the Aisling's books a go by one of our 20-something-year-old daughters. Exactly. Hold. To be honest, I was reluctant to read such a book, but I thought it was beneath me. Anyway, read the book. All of them. And oh my God, I enjoyed it so much. I've carried Aisling with me in my heart ever since. And I find myself wondering and being concerned about Aisling's well-being as if she's one of my daughters. And I'm thrilled to hear Aisling's in New York. She might even bump into our daughter who's in New York. So thanks to the girls for giving me...
That was quite the U-turn, wasn't it?
Wasn't it?
But you know, I'm a bit like that with things that become really popular. When everyone hypes something up, I'm like, you know what? I'm never going to watch that. Like, I've never seen Avatar because people just talk about it too much.
Never saw The Wire.
Yeah, I see, there you go.
Never saw Breaking Bad.
I didn't either.
Yeah, but you're right. It's that kind of contrary streak that runs through
you. Yeah, but you know, I love the people who are still pushing the books, though. They're like, you just have to give it a go, give it a go.
Yeah.
So thank you to that person who did that.
It's very nice. Yeah. But as you say, that did take a turn because I could sense a frisson of anger in this studio.
Well, we've heard that story a few times. That's not the first time. We'd be like, oh, I didn't think it would be for me. Or even like... A lot of men would come up to us back before the pandemic. We would do a lot of book festivals and kind of events and stuff like that. And they would come up and say, you know, I didn't think I was going to like this. And then my wife or my daughter made me read it and I absolutely loved it. So
we call them the reluctant husbands.
Yes.
Well, I think that these books give men a certain insight into a world that they mightn't be familiar with enough and should be more. So I say thank you is what I'm trying to say. I was asked to change seats on Aer Lingus to allow a family sit together. And when I went to my new seat, it was in business class.
The dream.
Oh my God.
This is the dream. This kind of unexpected upgrade.
Isn't that what it is?
And you know, like I've read about this a lot online. Apparently, like if your seatbelt is broken or your TV is broken or something, you might get an upgrade. And I was on a flight once and the telly was broken. And I was like, well, I'm sorry. You know, my television is broken. What's going to happen? And I just had to sit there with a broken TV.
Oh no.
There was no upgrades available.
I once moved seats to allow family to sit together and they bought me a Toblerone.
Oh, that was nice.
Oh, yes. It's kind of like a confectional version of an upgrade.
It was almost the same, even though I had to move then to a middle seat. And I felt it was flying home from Canada, which is an epic flight.
Oh, that is epic. Yeah. I want to ask you about that. But you know what happened then? Now that the Aer Lingus guys have been on, that's karma for you doing what you did.
Oh my God.
And the pain you had to suffer
while.
Through. It took a while. Hey, karma, delayed karma is still karma, especially if it's good.
Crying into my Toblerone.
Crying into
Was it one of the big gigantic airport ones?
No, not even.
Like a normal one?
Yeah, I think so. Where did they even get it?
Oh I don't God. Think you can get them anymore.
Oh my God, they brought them. With them. They had sandwiches and tinfoil and a Toblerone.
They were ready to get people to move and they had their tiny Toblerones as incentives.
Well, listen, it worked on me.
You were conned.
I was beside some heads, and they were having the full tinfoil sandwiches about a couple of years ago on a flight, and I just thought, fair enough. Yeah. And just as it ended, I thought, that's the end of that. They've enjoyed their sandwich, nothing wrong. They weren't smelly, the sandwiches, the people
no
were fine.
No eggs or tuna.
No eggs. But then out came the Tupperware for the dessert, and they had apple pie, and they were all like,
it was two course.
They were having it like a proper.
It's admirable. You treat yourself to an old muffin or something, wouldn't you? No,
they're too.
They were.
Yeah. They don't tend to be great.
The muffins are
now. The Aer Lingus ones will be fantastic.
Well, they'll be baked on flight.
I'm talking about any other airline.
Dorothy says, "I want to be on that flight in business class when they're going." No, you don't, Dorothy, because to be honest with you,
it could get rowdy.
It'll get very rowdy very quickly when they're into the third
cocktail of the day.
Cocktail of the week. I had a rush of blood to the head once and bid for a transatlantic upgrade with Aer Lingus' Mary in Galway. However, I made an idiot of myself by trying to flip the television screen back down towards me, thinking it was a tray, and the experience was tremendous. My daughter lives in Sydney, and definitely next time I visit, I'm flying business class.
YOLO,
says Jane. YOLO, and that is what you and your mum are going to be doing quite soon.
Absolutely
confirmed.
I'm pushing that button. You're going there. I got upgraded to business class on Aeroflot. That's Russia, isn't it? In 1994, yeah. I was going back. So you get Toblerone. Congratulations, you have seat.
Yeah, I'd like to know more about the amenities on that flight.
I would love to know that. We don't torture you. Okay. I met Emer and Sarah at a book signing at Newbridge Silverware a few years ago.
That was a lovely day.
So much fun. What a gas place for a book signing.
I was going to say, very Aisling.
There was like
friendly.
Us. They had like a jumper Princess Diana once wore.
Yes,
like,
they have the weirdest stuff.
Michael Jackson socks or something. It was
and a little book section.
Yeah.
I think the socks might have been cancelled. anyway, they signed my book, which I found absolutely brilliant. Thanks, girls, for making me laugh. Isn't that lovely to be thanked for cheering people up?
I know. It is really nice.
It is nice.
Yeah. Bask in the glow. Delighted to hear the fabulous friends and creators of Aisling are on with you today. It's great to see two friends are successfully working together and having the crack. Female friendship is a beautiful thing, says Teresa in Cork. It is possible to work with friends. I worked with my friend Sylvia Lopez for the past 5 years, and the support and fun we've had, the ups and downs of creating Hola students together. Admittedly, she lives in Madrid now, but we chat daily. So bravo to the duo. Great role models for female powered creation.
Oh,
lovely.
That is so nice. It's
Teresa Hart.
Nice.
Morning, Teresa. And she said Dubray Books will be opening in Cork soon, so you'll be down there doing a signing.
I believe we're going to Cork.
We'll be in Cork next week.
I believe we're going to Cork.
Any excuse? Put us on the train?
Is there business class on the train?
I bet there is.
There is a sort
you
of
know
a,
Ryan.
I was waiting for it. There is a carriage, isn't there?
I wouldn't know.
There aren't any carriage.
Just to accommodate my ego. It's quite long. Can't wait to read the book. I love Aisling. My company once sent me on a return business class flight to San Francisco for a 5-month project. My fiance came to visit me for the last three weeks. I gave him my business class seat on the way home, and that's how I knew it must be love.
Oh, because she wanted him to experience it.
Yes.
That's very nice.
I should point out that my flight home that time was not business class, and I cried all the way home.
Okay. So it was a one-way ticket.
It was a one-way business class flight, yeah. That was grim.
Was that given to you, or did you?
No, I bought it, but I had bought the flight quite last minute, and when you buy something last minute like that, transatlantic, the prices aren't that different.
This is
and
how was she was like, justifying it to me. It's not that different.
The price difference isn't that huge.
It's not prohibitive. You know. Okay, let's keep going. 51551 flew business class from Melbourne 3 years ago. However, today I would take a rowing boat to Melbourne to see my family. That's horrible for me. I have laughed out loud this morning listening to the girls. Thanks for the great start to my day. Well done to Aer Lingus for treating them to a wonderful business class experience. Enjoy, ladies.
Oh, thanks for the reminder.
It's kind of giddy. I feel excited.
What if they're just pranking us, Emer?
I would say lower your expectations.
I think that the suggestion seems to be we look forward to bringing the girls to New York, but you there's three seats and you have to bring Ryan with you.
Pods at least.
At least you'll be kind of. They didn't say they'd be together.
Give us your tiny salt and pepper
for your handbag.
Are you bringing that home? Give it to me. So
are you using those socks?
Wake up! You're not listening.
Yeah, you're missing. Here's matchsticks for your eyes. Look at us. We see everybody. Look, there's Paul Brady's over there. Took my niece Emma to New York for the first time, flying on business class, upgraded as I won the flight tickets in a competition, and the earnings were brilliant. We had a laugh. A lot of love for all of this, to be honest with you. People are enjoying it immensely. So now that this is all put to bed, you've got your fifth book is the next one. We'll talk about that again. But why a quintet? Why not keep on going as you're on to such a good thing?
I think we always said that we just didn't want to drag it out too much. And we wanted to leave people wanting more from Aisling. And it's not like we think we're going to run out of ideas, but the ideas that we have at the moment are really strong.
Okay.
And we just don't want to dilute it by doing it constantly. I think our publisher would like us to do a book every year for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
But there are other things that we want to do as well, like individually and together. And I think five books is just, you know.
And when we wrote the first Aisling book, we thought it was just going to be one book. It was never supposed to be a series. We never thought it was going to be a success. And then it was like, well, maybe we'll do three. Like, maybe could we get a story
a
in three?
Yeah.
And then they did. And then it was like, okay, we'll do five. And we just felt like that. Like, I'm kind of anticipating it being quite sad, but kind of looking forward to drawing the story to a close next year.
Oh, I'm emotional thinking about it. Yeah.
Lads, I went to see James Bond last week. And, you know, it's Daniel Craig's last one.
Yeah.
First time in my life, I found myself quite moved by the ending. I was going, oh, he's gone. Because it's kind of end of an era in life and so on. And so I think Aisling's departure in book five or wherever she goes, so I'm sure you've kind of put her to wherever she is. Don't kill her.
We're not going to make any promises.
Can you imagine?
Goodbye, Aisling. Goodbye.
No, we'll keep her safe.
Oh,
she'll be okay.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that. I know there was talk of a movie. That's now a TV series. You're writing the screenplay for that, if that's the right way of putting it.
Yes, we've pivoted to TV, which is exciting.
Yeah.
We have just written the pilot and then set the outline for the next seven episodes. So we're hoping to get that picked up.
Has that been cast yet? No.
No.
No, not yet.
I would imagine one of your favourite conversations together is casting Aisling.
Oh, we do it all the time.
I bet you do. It's like, what would you do if you won the lotto?
Yeah, and people come up to us on the street and like, would you consider Saoirse for the role of Aisling?
Oh, I bet.
Or like, would Saoirse consider the role of Aisling? Is more of a question.
That's more like it.
I know Saoirse is too cool for Aisling.
Yes.
Not to say Aisling has her cool moment. No, she doesn't. What am I talking about?
Saoirse is more of a Sive.
There's a character called Sive who's Aisling's very cool hipster friend.
So she'd be. I'm racking my brains to see who'd be other
like
contenders.
We honestly don't really have one name in mind for Aisling. We get asked this all the time, and especially when it was going to be a movie, it was like, who's going to play Aisling? But we think it'll probably be like a find.
It'll be
an actress.
Like to discover someone. Wouldn't that be cool?
You can be gender neutral and cast Aidan Turner.
This is it.
Take
your top off there, Aisling. Have you got a side, Aisling?
Side in the city.
Yeah.
Can you ask the girls how they write the books? Oh, good Lord, that's a big question. Honora, do they write them together or take chapters or whatever? So I know that you ask that a lot. So the quick answer to that is,
we do kind of alternate chapters, and we figure out what's going to happen at the start of a chapter and at the end, and then we go away and fill in the blanks. We do it on Google Docs, which is just, there's no security there. It's extremely lo-fi, but it's how we did the first book, and we're afraid to change
and
it.
And then we edit the books together, so they're seamless.
Thank you. That answers that.
If you do say so.
Ladies, somebody says, ladies, addressing you both.
Thank you.
My sister-in-law is going through some treatment in Singapore. Would you, I sent her all the Aisling books as a distraction. Thank you for the humour. So she's going through in Singapore, away from home, and then chuckling away at Aisling's experience. That's a really nice thing.
That's really nice to hear.
The tale of Muhammad Ali changing his first class seat for a man who was having health issues in standard class. He stayed there for the whole of the flight, and everyone around him were delighted by his company. There's John.
That'll be nice, Sarah.
Health issues. That seems to be the key to getting to first class.
On our honeymoon in Aer Lingus flight to Sicily, I noticed a male passenger across the aisle looking unwell. I said hello to him, but he didn't respond, and he was in the midst of a cardiac event. I said hello! Anyway,
answer me!
Rude! Anyway, sorry. Aer Lingus diverted to Gatwick, and he had a procedure in the hotel, in the hospital, and he's fine. And the feedback from Aer Lingus said he survived. Aer Lingus were great, treated me and my husband to free champagne.
Oh, lovely. I have a friend who was once on a flight home from Las Vegas, and she was so hungover they considered diverting the flight.
Oh, God. The most Irish
Can
diversion.
You imagine?
Oh, very Magella move there.
We have to go. We could be here all day. So much more in on that. And guys, New York, it's on your agenda
see
now.
See you there.
Yeah,
we'll
see
do
you
the
there.
Aisling tour.
Oh, we're like visiting all the spots
in
the book
that
we made up.
Eimear McGlaisid and Sarah Breen, so good to see you. I really always enjoy your company. Thanks for being with me today and with all of us. Ashling in the City is out now as of today, and you can get that in all good bookshops, and do try and get it in your local bookshop and support them all there if you can. And you're on a book tour. Will you be doing signings and things? And
we can't have like actual signings in shops now because of the congestion. So we are going to be going to bookshops around Dublin and signing stock. Oh, nice. So if you go to your local bookshop, you might get a signed book.
Thank you. Great to see you.
And you.
Bon voyage. Yeah, nice.